Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Lift up your hands, lift up your voice. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We call to worship. We call to worship your great name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be exalted, Lord. And afterward he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord fill the temple. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple. Make known to them its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all of its ordinances, all its forms and all of its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all of its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. With me right now, lift your hands, please. Begin to worship Jesus and tell him that he is the Lord of glory. Let your glory cover the earth, O God, even as the waters cover the sea. Come on, begin to declare to him that he is a God that is free to move in your life, free to move in your home and your marriage, free to move in your children. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 2 and 4 says, "And God, also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Cross the aisles. Take somebody by the hand. Right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, we come in agreement. We say, Father God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. O God in earth, as it's being done in heaven. We declare right now, Father, that this house is a house transformed by the pattern of heaven. No longer, God, a place made, O Father, with brick and stone and steel, but rather a habitation of the glory of God. We pray, Father, that you would bless my sister and brother on thy right and left and fill them with your glory. Fill them, O God, with your power, and let their life never be the same. For we, O God, are persuaded that you are the God above the heavens and the earth, and there is no one like you. In Jesus' name. Everybody just clap your hands and give the Lord a shout. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Yeah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Now stay with me, stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Don't break, don't break. Lift up your voice and declare with me, I am a kingdom citizen. No longer living in the kingdom of darkness, but in the kingdom of light. My mouth shall be filled with joyful praise. My life is hidden in Christ. My place is in Him. I live and dwell in the realm of the Spirit. Therefore, I walk with God. And he walks with me. Now before you're seated, I want you to find two or three people and ask them, how is your walk going? just declared you walk with God. You just declared you walk with God. How is your walk going? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah in here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One more time. Come on, give the Lord a hallelujah. Amen. That was a great prophecy by Zacharias. Zacharias was a high priest. He was a prophetic man. And he went into the presence of the Lord. And God began to speak to him about the future. Now watch this. However, he had great difficulty believing what God said. And as a result, God struck him, deaf and dumb, and not permitted to speak another word again until he came in alignment and began to call John his name. There was nobody in his family by the name of John. There was nobody that would really bear that name. And so for him to say his name is John was very peculiar with the whole family and tradition. And I just want to say that we're going to have to be like Zacharias. And understand we're going to have to call some things like we've never called them before. Very unusual things. Because we are in a very prophetic time. Everybody say prophetic. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and verse 75, we read these words. To grant us that we, this is Zacharias' prophetic utterance, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. It is God's plan that we not serve God with fear or apprehension about the future or anxiety or fear of man. But in verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is a call to you and me today that God is calling us to holiness and righteousness. And that there is a season on the earth of which we've already entered into. You see, this is the age of spiritual power. Everybody say spiritual power with me. Not like we've had it in the past. Not those church-defined power sessions or tradition, but spiritual power being released with results. Results in the lives of God's people. This is an age of spiritual power, and any Christian, any church that is destitute of this spiritual power is behind the age. In other words, it's as though you're still using a typewriter and whiteout. Or you still have your tape player in your car. Or your cell phone is this big. Or you still jog with your Walkman. In other words, we're destitute without being in the technologically upgraded age. We are behind the times. We are locked into an era. And the church has been locked into an era. It has been locked into a season of which the spiritual power of God has been released on the earth. And most of us are not even aware of it. Most of us are still typing on the typewriter, carrying around a 3.5-pound cell phone, while the kingdom makes major advances on the earth. There is a need today to spread and hoist your sails. Your sails is your passion for God. When the wind of God begins to blow, it is very difficult to move a ship unless one hoists the sails, unless one has a capacity to catch the wind and move the vessel. Our passion for God is much like the sails on a ship. And so the Holy Ghost is speaking that we must find our passion for God. We must create a passion for the Lord. That we must become a generation that is in tune with the spiritual power that's being released in this generation. There is indeed a storm coming. And the storm that is coming is a spiritual storm. And this spiritual storm, it will not be the first time that it has come to the earth. It has come to the earth on many occasions. Our first experience of this spiritual storm is in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And we read that suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the place where they were sitting. And cloven tongues of fire, strikes of lightning, if you will, came forth out of the mighty rushing wind. And it began to fall upon each of them. And from that moment on, their lives were never the same. This is the spiritual storm needed again in this generation. This is a spiritual storm that is needed in your life and in my life that will create a passion for God that is unparalleled, that we have never experienced before. The question is, can you hear the sound of the abundance of this storm? Can you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? There was an old covenant prophet. The story tells in 1 Kings 18, verses 41 through 45, where he could hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And the Bible tells us that he said to his servant, "Do you hear the sound? Do you know that it's coming? Go look." And his servant went and looked over the sea and saw nothing. And came back to the prophet and said to the prophet, "I see no clouds on the horizon." In other words, I see no storm. I feel no wind. I sense no change. But the prophet said, "For those who hear the sound of the abundance of rain," he said, "wait a minute. Let me get into my posture of receptivity." He began to spread his legs. And the Bible said he put his head down in between his legs. And he began to cry out and pray to God. And he began to declare that there is an abundance of rain that is coming, because I can hear it in my spirit. I don't see it in my natural eyes, but I hear it in my spirit. Boy, go look again. And the servant went and looked again and came back and said, "No, master, there is no cloud." And the Bible says not once or twice or three times or four, but rather seven times did the prophet cry out to God. You see, those who are intimately connected in prayer to God hear the sound of the storm. Those that are in intimate connection in prayer with God will not stop and not cease of praying and believing until the rain appears, until the storm begins to come together, until the clouds gather over our families, our children, our church, our city. There is a people that God is raising up in the spirit of Elijah who are not satisfied with the sprinkles of yesterday, but they're hungry and thirsting for an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost storm on the earth. And when a storm comes, it changes everything. It stops those who are traveling to pull off the side of the road and wait till the storm passes. It'll stop those plans that you and I had for the cookout and for the amusement park. When a storm comes, it sweeps away the streets and begins to refresh the ground and changes the environment in which we live. Can I declare to us this morning, on this 26th day of November, God is sending a spiritual storm upon the earth, and those that hear the sound of the abundance of rain that will persist in prayer until that rain begins to fall. God is raising up a house to hear the rain. But only those who pray can hear it. Only those who pray through will bring the rain. Jesus spoke to his disciples in Luke and 24 and 49. And he said these words, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry." Everybody say, "Tarry." "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until." Everybody say, "Until." You got to say, "Tarry until." "You are endued with power from on high." Jesus said, "I want you to sit down. Shut up. Don't move. Abide in me. I don't want you to get up out of that seat. You sit there until." You sit there. You wait. You sit down. You abide. You expect. You begin to lean toward. You look for the sound. You listen for my voice. Don't you get distracted. Don't you get up from that chair. You stay right there and think about what you've done. Have you ever disciplined your children like that? "I want you to go to your bedroom and sit on that bed. When I come in, I want you to tell me what you did wrong." Have you ever done that with your kids? And you walk in here and you say, "All right, now, what did you do?" "Sit there some more. Think about it. Don't you get up until I come back and I'll tell you, and you can tell me what you did." That's what he said to say, "Terry." He said, "I want you to sit down. I want you to stop moving around. I want you to stop being so busy. I want you to stop with the hustle and the bustle. I want you to stop being allured by the things of this world. I want you to stop turning and twisting and looking for something that's going to satisfy your longing in your soul. Quit looking to the drink and the alcohol. Quit looking to the drug. Quit looking to sex. Quit looking to all these things. I want you to sit down and I want you to listen to me, because I'm about to do something for you. But you're not going to sit there all the time. There's going to be a point until there's going to be a time when you're going to have to get up from where I told you to sit down." When I travel and I have to go to a gate to get on an airplane, I go to my gate and I sit. And I sit until they say, "Now boarding." And when the time comes to board, I got to get up from where I was sitting in order to go where the plane is about to move, so I don't get left behind. Look at somebody and say, "Don't be left behind." First of all, we as a church are having difficulty sitting in the presence of God. sitting and tarrying in the presence of God, sitting and waiting for the presence of God, for the moving of God. Secondly, we're getting up, and God didn't say to get up. He said to stay there. Stay there. Why? Why should we stay there? Until you are endued with power. Until you are clothed. Until it's no longer you. Something takes over your life. Something empowers your being. I want you to get in that place. Get up in that upper room and stay there. I want the countdown to begin. I want you to begin to worship. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to call on my name. I want you to begin to seek my face with your whole heart. I want you to begin to tuck your head in between your legs. I want you to begin to listen to the sound of the abundance of rain. I don't want you to move until something possesses you, until something gets a hold of you. And then when it gets a hold of you, then I want you to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But don't move until you're touched. David had to wait for the moving of the mulberry tree before he could move against the enemy. Now, this is difficult for trained, talented 21st century Christians, because we really don't need the moving or the stirring, because we can handle it. At least we think we can. But David knew enough that he did not move until the mulberry tree began to shift, began to be affected by the wind, because he saw the effects that God had shown up, that the presence of the Lord had come to visit. And he knew that if God was there, it was time for him to move. Friends, we can't build a church. You can't keep your family. You can't keep your money. You can't keep any possession that you define as valuable or dear to your life. You and I cannot defend this nation. We cannot elect the right official. We can't manipulate the enough people. We must rely upon the stirring of the presence of God. Everybody lift up your hands and just tell God that you're hungry for the stirring. You're hungry for the moving. You're hungry for the blessing. You're hungry until God moves. And if God doesn't move, you're not going to move either. Because if we move without the stirring, we move without God. We move without the stirring, we move without God. We have become, in this generation, a self-proficient group of people. We have become in America a very blessed nation, but it's become a curse. Because we have need of nothing. We become likened unto the Laodicean church. And Jesus said, you have need of nothing, but you don't realize you're destitute. Come on, come on. That without my moving upon your life, you are empty. You are broken vessels. You are a leaking cistern. You cannot contain. You're like Haggai the prophet said, you got holes in your pocket. The danger of this generation who's grown up in church is you think you know church. You think you know salvation because you've always been here. Yeah. And we've got to get to a place where we tremble at the presence of God. And we cry for the abundance of rain. And we declare we will not move until God moves upon our life. I've been this way now 30 years in the Christian kingdom world, and I've found something out that I could either do things my way or I can do them God's. And it's interesting how God is such a gentleman, He'll allow me to do it my way without Him. I notice something happens. Something happens when you dedicate yourself for a season of time to the presence of God. Something happens. When you get into a prayer moment and you refuse to move until God moves on you, something happens to you. Last weekend, a number of young adults spent 24 hours in prayer before the Lord. Some of them are here today. I'm not going to have them stand up because we're not awarding you. Should a slave who has been out working all day come in and expect to eat? But no, he should first feed his master and then sit down and eat. For this is only what has been expected of you. We as a church, when we find one or two or a group of people that somehow elevate in their Christian life, we want to write articles about them. We want to talk about how spiritual they are. We want to give them gold stars for praying all night. Now listen, I'm impressed. But it's only what we ought to have been doing. It ought not to be something that is so unusual that we have to sit back and say, well, glory to God, that is awesome. No, it ought to be that everybody spends that kind of time in the presence of God as the Holy Ghost moves. Can I get an amen in here? Come on. We flock to people who occasionally are used with spiritual gifts, and we elevate them and throw money at them. We put their faces on Christian magazines and put them on Christian television shows. And we sit back and say, wow, they're so spiritual. No. They are in the spiritual storm. You're still carrying around your 3-pound cell phone. Come on. I know it's Sunday morning and I know you don't like me right now, but come on. I'm just going to preach it anyway. Is that all right? If you preach me down, I got another preacher in here. He'll take over. Pastor Tossie's here. He'll take over. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. There's something about a 10-day countdown. They were in the upper room for 10 days. I like the 10-day countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7. You know where we're going. 6, come on, help me out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now what's after 1? Something has to happen. Either there's a blast off or there's a dud. Something has to happen. You expect the movie to start after the reel counts down to 1. They were in the upper room for 10 days. It was a 10-day countdown. And I'm telling you this morning, we are in a 10-day countdown. And I want to challenge you. Take the next 10 days of your life and change your schedule. Can you even do it? Are you even willing to take 10 days where you consecrate yourself as much as you can to get in the presence of God and to call on His name and say, God, unless the mulberry tree stirs, I'm not moving. It's unknown to the average Christian. That lifestyle is unknown to the average church. Let me say this. To most preachers. And David knew that if he moved without God, he moved without the stirring. You see, you and I need to learn how to thrust ourselves into the current of the mighty rushing wind. I wanted to get the picture for you, but I didn't have time. Seeing how the Lord changed my message last night about 8 o'clock. And I was in the southmost parts of Uganda a few months ago, and there the origin of the Nile River out of Lake Victoria begins. And just not far from there are what they call Class 5 rapids. Now, the preacher I was with wanted to go down those rapids in a raft and wanted me to go with him, and I told him no. First of all, you understand there's not regulations on the rafts by any government agency. I don't know how many times those things have been patched. I don't even know if the guide can swim. So I decided not to get in the raft on the Class 5 rapids. But I did do this. I went down to the rapids, and as close as I am to the step, I sat down. And the water rushed behind me at great speed. When suddenly I looked, and there was a young boy on a jerry can. Anybody know what a jerry can is? It's a 5-gallon plastic container. It had a rope around the handle and around his ankle. And if you paid him the equivalent of about $5, he will jump in the river and ride that plastic container through Class 5 rapids. I said, I got to see this. Give the boy $5. And he hit that water, and suddenly he was gone. I couldn't find him. I thought the poor boy drowned. And looking downriver, he was waving at us. A mighty rushing wind. A mighty rushing river is for the purposes of getting in and being moved according to the will of the river. This young man could not swim upstream. He could not swim to the side or the banks of that river. He had to follow the flow. Everybody say that with me. Follow the flow. You see, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, and when the winds of God begin to blow, we've got to what? Follow the river. We've got to follow the flow. We've got to go where the wind is determined to blow it. If all we do is sit there and photograph ourselves with the river behind us, we never move from where we are. Here is the cry. God put me back in an 18-year-old body again. Give me that 55-year-old mind, but put me back in an 18-year-old body. So I can take advantage of the days of my youth. So I can take advantage of the decades of time of which I and many others as believers have squandered in this world. If we could buy back the time, if we could buy back the time, if we could go back to the first day where I met you, if I could get that first love back, if I could get that passion back, if I could hoist my sails, if I could expect the winds of God to blow upon my life again, oh God, if I could just turn back the time. And the Holy Ghost, if you're listening, will say, you still have time. Don't think for a moment that you're finished. You're aging. I'm aging. Some of you have your youthfulness, but listen, those of you, let me talk to you that relate to who I am in my age. Don't tell me it's over. Don't tell me God doesn't have a plan. Don't tell me you still can't catch the wave. Don't tell me you still can't hoist your sail. Don't tell me. We ought to be leading the parade. We ought to be leading the processional. We ought to be leading the joy. We ought to be the ones that are crying out the most. We ought to be the ones where when young people come in, they see you with tears on your face and you're at this altar crying out to God. And when the worship begins, we're not waiting for some young thing to get up here and to do their little dance move. I'm up here shaking it, baby, shaking it, baby. If all I've got is just my hands to get up here and bless the Lord, then you're going to see me. But I'm not going to let some kid, some punk outpraise me. Come on now. I'm not going to let some young person outpray me. I've been here too long. I know too much. I know my God is able. And I don't mean punk derogatorily. You're still a punk if you're under 30. They suddenly move from where you've been to another destination. You go with the river. I like Isaiah 59 and 19. When the enemy comes in. Now watch now in the Hebrew. We all know this. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord will raise up a banner against him. I got a flood up inside of me. Let the floodwaters rise, Lord. Let the floodwaters rise. Let it take over. Let it cause things to float away that need to be gone in my life. Let it cleanse. Let it wash. Let it refresh. Let it bring life. Let the waters flow. Let my life begin to flow. Let it be an irrigation channel that I might be able to bring life to those who come in contact with me. Oh, I want to pour out the Holy Ghost water of life on everybody I meet. What good has Calvary done you unless you've come into personal relationship with that terrible death? What good is Calvary done you unless you come into a personal, intimate relationship with the cross? Let me ask this question. What good is it? What good has Calvary done? What has it accomplished for you if all you do is have knowledge about Calvary? If all you do is sing about Calvary? If all you do is go to church on the Calvary days of resurrection and Christmas? What good is it if that's all you do is know about Calvary but never come into a personal relationship of intimacy with Calvary? The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, unless you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you cannot be saved. We've got to come into a personal relationship of intimacy with the cross. Amen? What good has the outpouring of the Holy Ghost done you unless you've come into personal relationship with the Holy Ghost. Folks, look, Sunday's a great time to catch up and how you're doing and all that. But you know what? We ought to be meeting during the week. Call me up for coffee. You know, some folk I don't hear from any time. I don't hear from them at all unless they see me. Oh, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I needed to ask you something. Dude, why don't you call me this week? Well, I was busy. I see you now, I remember. Okay, I'm glad I'm convenient for you. Watch this. I'm going somewhere with this. Don't be mad. You got funny looks on your face. Oh, they're all uptight. Listen, come to the house of God. How you doing? Great, praise the Lord. Let me, shanda baba barende, hallelujah. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, I'm not here to see you. Oh, glory to God. Now, I'm all for relationships. But sometimes all churches is a big social club where we pass out our business cards and do lunch. I know that doesn't happen here, but I know some churches that's what happens. I'm going to go to church A because all them other people go there. And if they go there, I'm going to go there and maybe I get hooked up and they make my business better. Come on. You got to get your face in the carpet is what you ought to do.
Say that. Right there. That's
good. The foyer ought to be the most desolate place on a Sunday morning before church. It ought to be like a wilderness out there. This is the place. Oh, yeah, right here. Yeah. This is the place. That ought to be filled with the fire of God. This is a place. What good is the Holy Ghost outpouring if we never come into personal intimacy with the Holy Spirit? What good is it? What good is the cross if we never come into personal intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a passion for God. I'm talking about such passion that it overtakes you. I'm talking about passion for God. If you kill me, I'll rise up again and do it over. I'm talking about a passion that says, I cannot be defeated. I won't quit. I mean, I was here long before you got here, and I'll be here long after you leave. In other words, I can't be moved. Because my passion drives me. My passion for a vision. I've got the same vision my father has. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, let your kingdom come to earth. Let men rise up and be the priest of their home. Let men bless their children and lay hands upon their wives and live holy and righteous and be the kind of protector that God's called them to be. I mean, we're only 3 or 4 weeks out of Desperate Household Series, and we're already forgetting it. I produced 7 principles of saving your family. I put together a man-to-man conversation when we were in the middle of the series. 100 of them went like that. I made 7 principles on how to save your family, and they probably sold 50. Because we're already 3 weeks away. Some of us are already slipping in to our same lifestyle and habits. You still love me this morning? Oh, Jesus, they don't love me anymore, God. They're mad at me. They're going to be looking for another church. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But the truth be known, our families are going to hell in a hand basket. Our families are in trouble. We have come to be known as the Samson generation. We look bad. We got the stuff, we got the goods, got the hair. I'm floating into church, man. The muscles, which way to the beach, Paul? He had such power on him. I mean, you know, the dude was just raw. He was, you know, come in there just, I think I'm going to go mess with some Philistines today. You know, he'd go there and burn up their crops or take a jawbone of a donkey and kill 100 of them with it, just for fun, just for sport. They tried to bind him on the gates. He'd pull the gates out. I mean, they tried to chain him and snap the chains because he's anointed. This is a Samson generation. Two qualities that Samson had that we better run from. Number one, he sinned. And number two, he slept. And in this hour, the church is heaped in sin and we are asleep. And when you sleep, people do things that you wouldn't want them to be doing because you have no knowledge of what's happening around you. We love playing with people that sleep when we're teenagers. We get some shaving cream. We put their fingers in hot water, cold water, anything we can do to get them to pee their pants, whatever we can do. You fell asleep first at the sleepover, you were done. You were over, baby. And the church is asleep. And the devil's taking our hands and putting it in cold water and filling our trousers with shaving cream. Sporting over the church, laughing at the church. Come on, somebody. If you can't say amen, say oh me. I mean, say something, grunt, tell me, show me your life. The devil's just sporting with us. We've fallen asleep in the lap of Delilah. Ooh, she looks good. Ooh, she looks good. I'm not talking about the natural woman. I'm talking about the things of this world. Doesn't it look good? It looks good. Oh, it looks good. Give me a 10. I'm going to get one of them PS3s. I'm going to get one of them. I'm going to camp out for 3 days. I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to get one. Camped out in the lap of Delilah, man. Things are so important to us that are so temporal. I mean, it's like we put all this stock in stuff that rusts, decays, breaks down. And so Samson didn't even know he had become powerless. See, that's the tragedy. I mean, if he'd have known that he had no power, but he didn't know. And so a bunch of church folk walk around like they always have. In Jesus' name, I command everything in my own. You ain't got no power. You can't even live right. Your family's all busted up at home. You're drinking on the side. Don't tell me. Don't lie. And so we're up here. You know, we don't even know we don't have any power. We just have church power. You know. Church power. Come on, Sister Claire, lay hands on me. Give me some. Give me some. Give me some. We fall out. We get up. We have no power. We have no power. See, that's Samson didn't have no power. Here's what it says in Judges 16 and verse 20. It says that he woke up. Hallelujah. Everybody say he woke up. That's a good thing. He woke up, but he didn't know the Lord had left him. So what did he do? He said, I will what? Shake myself as before. I heard something in the Bible. Listen to this. Acts chapter 4. And the place where they were assembled together was shaken by the Lord. I said, now God, that's a different kind of shaking. Because Samson's over here shaking himself. And you over here shaking them. So you mean we could fake it and shake it? In other words, I go all through the church stuff, man. I got it down. I got it down. I could speak in Christianese right now. I had a great time on Wednesday. I got a chance to speak to a sociology class at Oregon Community. It was wild. And I was really careful not to use church terms. I said, my mentor and coach, Jesus Christ, has taught me. I'd say things like that. There was a great ancient king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar who, you know, if we tried for 24 hours not to speak Christianese, we probably couldn't do it. Because praise the Lord, how you? God bless you. That's all we know, right? Say, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it, but listen to me. It's real easy to shake yourself.
Come on.
I don't want to shake myself. Because here's the problem. We shake ourselves and our families go on shaking. We shake ourselves and our church stays the same. We shake ourselves and the offering doesn't go up. The offering stays the same. Sometimes it even goes down. I've been in some great shaking services. And it was a crummy offering. I thought, how can that be? How can the people get shaken by the Holy Ghost and not give any money? Must be shaking yourself. Come on, look at somebody, just smile. So he's almost done. It's about 11:30. He's about to quit. The pain is over. You know, it's like sitting in the dentist chair when he puts that drill away. It's like, hallelujah. He did not know the Lord had departed from him. It's time to stir up the gift that is within you. See if I could find this one. Is it working? I need that last slide. How do I do this? They'll bring it up. I need the last slide. No. Yep, that's it. I'll preach right there for a little bit. Passion for God. What is a passion for God? It is a desire that is stronger than death. I think a volunteer, please. Thank you, sir. Would you stand right there? It's a desire that is stronger than death. Would you like to say that for me nice and loud?
It is a desire that is stronger than death.
Okay, I need another volunteer. Passion for God is a drive and a determination. Would you please stand up there and just shout it out? It's a drive and a determination.
A drive and a determination.
You see, passion for God, by way of another volunteer, is it will feed your persistence. May I have another volunteer, please? Feed your persistence. Just shout that nice and loud, please.
Feed your persistence.
You see, passion for God will or is
desire that is stronger than death.
And
drive and determination.
And will
feed your persistence.
But without passion for God, there is no drive and determination. There is no persistence. And there is weakness in the midst of trial and tribulation. But with passion for God, another volunteer please, is willing to pay the price. Shout that nice and loud, volunteer. It's willing to pay the price.
Willing to pay the price.
And with another volunteer, you see, passion for God will keep your focus. And it will also defy the odds. One more volunteer, please. Got to get one woman up there. Yeah, all right. So now watch this. Watch this now. Listen to your passion. This is your passion speaking. This is that thing that's up inside of you that the Holy Ghost has stirred up.
Yes.
You know, just with loud, bold declaration. Come on.
Desire that is stronger than death.
Drive and determination.
Defies the odds.
Feeds your persistence.
Is willing to pay the price. Keeps you focused.
Keeps you focused. If we lose our passion for God, we have no hope. We will die in a generation. We will shrivel at the post. Church, I'm begging you. a passion for God. It's demonstrated so many ways. In prayer, in word, in service, in worship. I mean, next Sunday night, think about it. Andrew Ironside from Brisbane, Australia, going to rock the house. Say, well, I don't know if I like his music. It doesn't need music. I don't need the kind of, I just got passion for God. My passion is fired up. One more time, please. Your passion for God. What is it? What is it? Say it.
A desire that is stronger than death. A drive and determination.
Rise to God.
Keep your persistence in willing to pay the price. Keep you focused.
If you and I can get that in our belly this morning, I beg you, please, don't lose your passion for God. Listen to me, listen to me. You can blame it on me. I didn't call, I didn't visit, I didn't pat you on the head, I didn't kiss your baby. Go ahead, blame it on me. Blame it, women. Don't blame it on me. They didn't call me. They didn't know I was gone. Nobody cares. Don't blame it on that. Because passion is stronger than death. You can't make me lose my passion. Are you kidding me? Your little puny self is going to get me not to be passionate for God? You can't do anything to steal my passion. Come hell, come high water, I'm determined. I have a drive. I'm so driven. I'm determined. Flat tire, fine. I'll drive on the rim. But we're going to the house of God. I'm determined. I'm sick. It's all right. I'm getting my Bible out anyway. I'm busy. Doesn't matter. We'll find time. I'm determined. I cannot allow my sails to fall.
Amen.
You're a woman? You're economically challenged? Your ethnicity is wrong? Nobody likes you? Defy the odds, baby. Stand in the face of the odds and say, my passion for God will overpower any odd that comes against me.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You mean you don't see a cloud? Go back. Not once, not twice, not three times, seven times. Why? Because it feeds your persistence.
Amen.
It knocks and it shall be opened unto you. You ask until it's given unto you. You seek until you find it, because you are full of passion for God. Come on, lift your hand up and say, thank God for passion. Well, what do you want from me? I can't do anymore. That's not true. Passion is willing to pay the price. Listen to me. What could you do for God more than you've done yet this far in your life? Listen to me. There'll be a day you'll stand before Jesus, every one of us. Listen to me. We're going to stand before Christ. He's going to give an account. You're going to give an account. Was there something you could have done more for God? There's not a person in here who wouldn't raise their hand and say, yeah, I could have done a little more. Can you bear witness with me? Come on, lift your hand up if you say, yeah, I could probably have done more. Look around. Look around. Passion is willing to pay the price. He said, when you come into the land, do not look to the right and do not look to the left. Don't look at riches and honor. Don't look at longevity of life, but keep your focus upon me. Passion keeps your focus on the Word of God and not on the trite problems that we as Americans face. Our biggest problem is trying to lose weight. Come on, man. Our biggest problem is occasionally We have problems at home with our computer, and we've got to call somebody. Our biggest problem is your call was dropped when you were talking to your buddy. Oh, you poor thing. Come on. Everybody say passion.
Passion.
Everybody lift your hands up and ask Jesus for passion. Come on, begin to ask Jesus for passion. Thank you, guys. Come on, begin to ask Jesus for passion. 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 Say, God, I can't live without a passion. I can't live, Father, a passionless life. I can't live this way. I've got to go to another level. I've got to get in the flow. I've got to let the Holy Ghost come on me. God, I need to be stirred. I can't do this anymore. I can't sit in church as a church kid and be disconnected. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I've got to go farther, further than I've ever gone before. I've got to. I've just got to. If I don't, I'll die. What moved the Apostle Paul? Church, let me ask this question. Just bear with me. What moved the Apostle Paul? Stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten. My God, he got back up and he went again. What makes men like that? What makes women like that? What comes in a person that is outside of themselves, that when that stirring hits you, it creates passion. So that when the winds of God begin to move and flow, every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I've been to church, but not like this. I need your help. I need somebody to pray for me. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Because I need to give my life to Christ. I need to get right with God. That's the first call. The second call is this. You've been a passionless Christian. You know it. Your wife knows it. Your children know it. Everybody knows it around you. You've been using excuses that you have done. You have to work extra. You know, you're busy at home. You're building this, or you're going here. You've been using all those excuses. But the bottom line, you know, really for a fact now, because the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, is that you've lost your passion. And I don't mean to oversimplify this thing, but I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit of the Lord, we need to gather up our passion. We owe it to this generation that's following us. We owe it to them. It's the survival. It is survival for the next generation that we be filled with the passion of God. So this morning, first of all, the first call that I want to make is if you're not born again and you want to go to heaven and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand on the count of three so I could pray for you. One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up. Thank you. God bless you back there as well. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. All right. Over here, on this side over here, anybody? Lift it up high enough so I can see it. I got to move on because I'm already late. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. You can put your hand up. All right. Pray this prayer with me right now. Everybody that raised your hand right over here as well. Thank you. Heavenly Father. Everybody pray. Heavenly Father. I ask you to forgive me my sin. Come into my heart, Jesus. Live inside of me. Take over my life. Be the Lord of my life. I repent of my sin. I renounce sin. I turn from the world. And I turn fully to God. I receive you now as my Savior. And I know you receive me as your son or daughter. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, this moment, this day, based on the authority of God's word, if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Now, after the service, we're going to have people up here that I want you to come and pray with. Say, why? We want your name. You never birth a baby like Kane and Courtney got their baby yesterday, 11-pounder. You never birth a baby and then leave it at the hospital. You got to get a name on that baby. You got to get a tag on that baby. Why? So you can feed it and nurture it and care for it. We need to care for you. We need to nurture you. We need to teach you. We need to give you some Bible portions. We need to give you a Bible study. So we need you to come up and sign a little card. Take you 5 minutes. That's all it'll take. Second call. All over the sanctuary. But bow your heads again, because there are people in here that have lost their passion for God. Come on. And this morning, you're saying to God, you know what, Father? I want you to fill me with the passion of the Lord again. If that's you, If that's you, just between you and God, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand up before Jesus. Come on, lift it up before Jesus. Lift it up before Jesus. Many hands have gone up. That's good, that's good, that's good. All right, I want you to put your hands down. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to sing that song. I want you to close your eyes and just worship for a minute. Come on, and I want you to worship Him. Come on, let's just bless the Lord. Worship Him. Come on, just worship Him.
Breathe on the coals of my heart. Let the fire burn.
Sing that part over again. Sing that part over again. Come on, sing it.
Renew in me a passion for you.
Come on, this is your moment. This is your moment. This is where you can seal it.
Breathe on the coals of my heart. Let the fire burn.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, dwell in my life. Be my consuming desire. Hey.